hope you're in the mood for guitar and bass. And a couple guys, I didn't get a chance actually to ask Dan, I'm assuming he's up from Nashville as well, but they were here at Harmony in the house last night, and Dennis McCurdy's been doing a great job of bringing people in and combining local talent along with folks who tour either regionally or nationally. Roy Bookbinder is going to be coming in about a month, November 4th. And I see Todd Burge is already scheduled for April in 2012. But last night, Tommy Womack played, and Dan Seymour backed him up on bass. And it's a pleasure to welcome them here this morning. We'll chat a little bit to Tommy about life in Nashville and life as a hard-working musician. But we'll just let the two of them get started right now. Tommy Womack and Dan Seymour.
Good morning. I'm gonna wake up with a little blues. I don't know about you, but I'm still waking up. Vicky Smith lived up the street from me. Vicky Smith lived up the street from me. Vicky Smith was 10 years older than me. I was 6 years old and she was 16. I was 6 years old and she was 16. Vicky Smith was the first pair of hot pants I'd ever seen. Her little brother Lane Allen was somebody I played Hot Wheels with. Her little brother Lane Allen was somebody I played Hot Wheels with. There was hot pants and Hot Wheels up the street with Lane Allen and Vicky Smith. Vicky Smith smoked cigarettes and swore. Vicky Smith smoked cigarettes and swore. All her dates just honk the horn, never come to the door. Their daddy converted the garage into a den. Their daddy converted the garage into a den. In that den, I saw Secretariat win. Vicky Smith married young. Vicky Smith heard that horn honk and off she run. Got D-I-V-O-R-C-E, a J-O-B, and a baby son, praise God.
Tommy Womack at the Saturday Light Brigade. How long have you been at this now? It's been a long time.
Professionally, 25, 26 years. And, just as a player, probably about 35 years.
Now, I should remember this. Where were you raised?
I was born in Sturgis, Kentucky, which is a tiny little town. Spent a little time in Paducah, and then from the age of six, I grew up in Madisonville, Kentucky. It's a coal town in western Kentucky.
That's the age that the hot pants came into your life.
Yeah,
in the last song.
Yeah, exactly.
And when did you decide to go to Nashville?
Well, I wanted to go a lot of years before I did. I went to college in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And several times I told my parents, I'm quitting college and going to Nashville with my guitar. And they begged me and begged me, you know, at least get your degree. You'll never regret it if you get your degree. And I went, okay. And I stuck around in college and I got my degree. And I'm so grateful to my parents that they, you know, leaned on me to do that. Because, you know, once you have a degree, kids, they can't take it away from you. Stay in school. I was in Bowling Green till 1992 when my wife got a job in Nashville, and I took that as the sign that it's time to move there now. Been there ever since.
And Nashville's a nice place. I mean, of course, it's a great place as a musician. There's a lot of work there, a lot of competition, too. But everybody I've talked to in Nashville seems really nice. It's a nice, friendly place.
Well, we're Southern, you know. We're you know, excessively polite. And Nashville is Southern, but it's really cosmopolitan because you have so many different types of people there. So it's a nice bastion of liberalism in the South as opposed to what it might appear to be from Music Row country and, the conservative bent that you get from those type performers. If you actually live in Nashville, it's a very live and let live place. It's really nice.
Now, when did you start playing guitar?
1978. I bought a Stella acoustic guitar for $18 from Vicki Smith.
Ah, wow.
Yeah.
And you know, I 2 weeks ago, right there where that guitar is, which is a Republic, we had a yellow Stella sitting right there. It's sort of that blonde yellow old Stella that we found at a Goodwill store for about $5. And we change the guitars every now and then. And I wish that was still there. It's a nice looking guitar. So were you playing playing out or with bands growing up?
I never played in a band until college. I got in a frat band, a cover band, and that was the first time I ever played out in front of people.
And then that really must have bit you if you were thinking of leaving school.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was already bit with it. I was in school plays and stuff, and I love performing for people. I just have always loved being on stage. You know, going, dig me, dig me.
Look at me. Attention, attention.
Look at me.
What did you study in school?
Excuse me. I was a mass communication major and a writing minor.
Well, that's a good combination because it the skills can keep you going, depending, you know, if you're looking for regular work, but also it's got to come into play for songwriting.
Yeah, yeah, I can say I used my major, yeah.
Yeah, it makes your parents happy, you know. Tommy Womack is here. We'll talk to Dan Seymour, too, at some point in time. We won't neglect you over there, Dan, who's playing bass. What would you like to play next?
Let's see. Let's do one I wrote with a very nice lady in Nashville named Irene Kelly. And this is called Wishes Do Come True. Got through the night. Here comes the morning. I prayed for rain and now it won't stop pouring. I wanted answers in time for healing. I never bargain for all I'm feeling. Now if the universe could send a little less, I've been outdone, I'm overblessed. All I ever wanted was to fall in love with you. Funny how wishes do come true. All through the day, used to want me. You used to need me. Now you just haunt me. I sold my soul for one night of your touch. How could I know when too much was too much? Now if the universe could send a little less, I've been outdone, I'm overblessed. All I ever wanted was to fall in love with you. Funny how wishes do come.
Pretty song, Tommy Womack, live at the Saturday Light Brigade. You mentioned co-writing that. Did you both do the lyrics, or
both of us? Yeah,
yeah. That's a really pretty song.
Thank you,
Dan. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. Where did you come from?
Well, originally, I suppose from Indiana. My mother's from Newcastle, Pennsylvania, though. Actually,
so. We one of our affiliates. Is she still living?
Yes, but she's unfortunately still living in Indiana.
Oh,
so.
Right. Well, the internet works that. But
exactly.
We have a strong WSAJ at 91.1 covers Newcastle. So maybe there are people that remember little Danny Seymour. Did you grow up?
Well, no, but no. We did vacate. I guess you would call it vacationing. We would come here to vacation and visit the family and whatnot. So.
And what took you from Indiana down to Nashville?
Well, music, of course. Yeah. If you're from Indiana and you want to move to the city, you either move to Chicago or to Nashville. So it was warmer in Nashville.
And how did you guys hook up?
Tommy hired me to back him up one night. And he always tells the story that I'd never heard his music, but that's actually the truth is I had heard one of his records before. So, but he pulled me and a drummer in, and we kind of just hit it off.
Yeah, well, you've been very prolific and a great career. And I understand last night was amazing.
Oh, yeah, last night was wonderful. Lovely folks, and the gallery we played in was really beautiful. A lot of nice artwork that you felt really good when you walked right in the door. It was really nice, positive place to be. And that always helps the music.
You've really seen the music industry change a lot in the last 25 years or so. I'm curious how you feel about those changes.
I started, it may not sound like it from what I play now, but I started in punk rock.
Yeah.
And punk won. You know, the whole notion of putting the music business back in the hands of the artist, it won out for good and for bad. The good news is that we have total control of our careers and our art now, and the bad news is we have total control and total responsibility, you know. There's no record company anymore to fly you to the moon and, you know, wine and dine you. You know, everybody's their own record company, and you sink or swim on your own merits. So, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, you know, it's imagine if painters, the only way their paintings were sold were through, you know, 30 record labels or, you know, 30 labels for painters, you know. And I guess back in the olden days when you needed record manufacturing plants and distribution and the whole way the industry was modeled, I can kind of see that. But I think it is refreshing to have people capable of producing their own things and being on top of it. But penetration's really tough, too.
I mean,
in terms of getting your art out into the ears of people.
Yeah, everything's really fragmented now. You can have different networks of listeners and artists just literally side by side, and they never know the thread next to them exists, you know. And, but you can have... used to be you would have maybe a few hundred or a few thousand fans, but they'd all be in like one region where you could play to them live and they might hear you on that one or two radio stations. And now you can have the same amount of fans, but one of them's in Stockholm, three or four of them are in Hamburg, Germany, 25 in Leicestershire, England, 8 in Wisconsin, you know, but they're all listening to you on the internet, you know.
Well, that's interesting. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that in radio as well. And then as a musician, I'm not sure how you monetize that or
you don't.
Yeah. Oh, you, not that you ever would want to. I mean, this is your art. but it's got to be kind of tough. You, album sales, I'm sure, is a big part of it, although the internet makes it kind of hard for that, too. Easy to buy if you're honest, but also easy to pilfer.
Well, that's the new radio in a lot of ways. Not that there's nothing wrong with this kind of radio, but ripping your CD and letting a friend have it, it's the same kind of avenue to get into somebody's ear, to let them hear your music. You know, in the 20s, when they first started playing records on radio, the record companies, such as they were then, freaked out because you can't play a record on the radio, people won't want to buy it. And it turned out that the opposite was true. And I think it's kind of comparable to that with the whole file sharing and ripping of CDs. You know, oh, you can't do that, people won't want to buy the record. And, well, that's true up to a point, but I think it helps sales to a degree, too.
I think you're right. And, you know, we're pretty involved internet-wise here, too. We're very early adopters at SLB. I think our website went live in 88 or 89 with streaming in the early 90s. And folks, it helps introduce music to people who eventually come out and hear you play or see you or who support what you're doing. We should hear hear another song. I want to come back to your punk rock days.
All right.
Just for fun, after the next song, because some folks might not know that early history.
Yeah.
You might find it curious. It's 28 after 11. If you're just joining us, Tommy Womack is the voice you've just heard. Dan Seymour is here backing them up on bass, and they sound great together. What would you like to do next?
This is a song called Nice Day. It's been a nice day, we all went swimming, me and my sweetheart and our boy. It's been a nice day, we had a good time, the sun was shining and life was joy. It was at a friend's house, we got invited. We can't afford a swimming pool ourselves. Our beds are unmade, our bills are half paid.
But we got beans up on the shelves. I'm 48 now, my hair is going. I got a shaky sense of self-esteem. But in that water, that smile on my boy's face, for a moment life was not a bad dream. It's been a nice day, we all went swimming. I love you, Daddy, he said that twice. Nothing got broken, no one got sunburned. I never freaked out, it was nice. I worry often, I live in terror of what life might have in store. I've got this vision, working at MAPCO, making change when I'm 64. I'll be an old man, I'll have had a good time. I'll have, God willing, my boy and my girl. And then I'll die and go to God's house, singing, take me from this world. It's been a nice day, we all went swimming, me and my sweetheart and our boy.
Saturday Light Brigade. That's a pretty song.
Thank you.
That one's yours as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gathering these songs are so honest. I'm gathering you've got a boy and a girl.
Well, the girl's my wife, okay. And the boy's our son.
I was actually thinking about that. Actually, is it Nathan?
Nathan,
yeah,
very
I was,
good.
I was.
Good.
It's
yeah.
funny. I was looking at your website the other night, and I remember. Where did I read? It's somewhere, maybe it was a dedication. It just said my sweet boy Nathan or our sweet mm-hmm. boy Nathan on there. We've linked to Tommy's website from slbradio.org. If you're driving, you can get to it that way. If you can't remember the name or address, or just tommywomack.com is where you go to get to it. I mentioned that really is a nice song.
Thank you.
So we talk about the punk rock days just a little bit. It's Government Cheese, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was the group which had a pretty long run, right?
Yeah, 7 years. And we still get together for reunion shows. We had a 2-CD anthology come out last year, and so we did a handful of reunion shows to promote that back in our home country, you know, in Kentucky and Tennessee.
And, you know, the early 80s, that was a fun scene, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't trade that experience for anything.
I wasn't playing it on the radio, but I was near a lot of people who were. And mm-hmm. there were a lot of fun groups coming out and a lot of things being said at the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
What was, in your part of Kentucky, what was the music scene like?
Where I grew up, there was no music scene. You know, I grew up in a coal mining town in western Kentucky that there was one drugstore that sold Cream magazine and Hit Parader and Circus. And I would buy those magazines every month and just live vicariously through those people that were at CBGB and Max's Kansas City and the Whiskey, a Go-Go, and places like that, that we didn't have. It was this whole other world that I could access only through magazines and from the records. When you could find the records in my town, you had to drive to Evansville, Indiana to get Ramones records or Clash records. You know, it was really, you know, back in those pre-internet days, you really didn't have much access to anything outside mass culture, what was on the three television networks or what was published in the newspaper.
What about music in general? Was there much family music in your community? Or, you know, folks, any bluegrass or old-time music?
There was some. Owensboro, Kentucky is about 45 minutes from Madisonville, and Bill Monroe was born and raised just outside of Owensboro. So there was a bit of it, but there wasn't really a venue or anything to go and hear music regularly. When I moved to Bowling Green, Kentucky, in 1980 to go to college, there was a much healthier scene there.
Yeah, the university, sure would bring a music scene there.
Yeah, Western Kentucky University,
You mentioned your folks and they encouraged you, you know, to make sure you graduate from college. Was your dad's employment with the mines?
No, my dad was a minister.
Ah.
Yeah. He was a Cumberland Presbyterian minister.
Well, that explains a little bit, I would say, in terms of how is he still living?
No, he's been gone 11 years now. My mom's 88, and she's still alive.
My sympathy on your dad, because that still seems like yesterday, I'm sure. He had a chance to witness your fame in government cheese, though, right?
Yeah. He never saw government cheese, but he got to see my next band, The Biscuits, and I think he was honestly impressed with it.
I was going to say, I'll bet he was, because he's a man communicating and getting ideas across, and his son is not too far from doing that, right?
No, I've been called a preacher occasionally, and there's ministerial aspects to what I do.
Absolutely.
Don't try to beat people over the head with it, but I do have my own strong philosophy and beliefs. Try not to let it get away and get in the way of just entertaining people. You know, you don't want to browbeat people, but there is a kernel of ministry in what I do.
You're hearing the voice of Tommy Womack, and Dan Seymour's here too playing. Tell me about that bass, which I'm sure you get asked that question all the time. But you know, picture a guitar and stretch it out a little bit widthwise, and stretch out the neck a little bit. You've got this nice big long acoustic bass horizontally across your knee here.
This is the cheapest instrument that you can possibly find. I paid nothing for it so that I could throw it in the back of Tommy's car and not worry about it and not have to plug it in for things like this. And it's a Dean Playmate bass, and it literally is about the cheapest piece of instrument you can buy.
Is that right? Is Dean a known
They're known
brand?
For very cheap instruments, but they play, you know.
A good friend of SLB's, and he's played here a lot, his name's Kurt Cooper, built an acoustic bass played in this way, and the neck came from Martin, and they actually made it for him. He went to Nazareth and plucked it off the assembly line when the time is right, and that is probably not an instrument that he would ever leave in a car.
Not one to throw in the back of the car.
But it's a beautiful instrument. It sounds good. Now, see, you could have told me.
Yeah.
Well, this
I went to China and picked this off the assembly line.
or I built this. A luthier I know makes these for $10,000 a piece. I'll let you have it for $5,000.
Bought it from a guy in a shoe store. That's about the story.
You know, my brother's a musician, and there. When you talk about the internet, gone is the ability to walk, walk into a Goodwill store or a pawn shop and find a really great guitar for a song, right? Everybody knows what everything is worth now. And he used to love just scouring garage sales and flea markets to find instruments that
he could restore and make beautiful again. Most folks know what they got, which is probably a good thing to know what you got.
Yeah, yeah.
What is your, and forgive my throat here, your tours, or where are you going to be over the next few months?
Bowling Green, Ohio tonight. After the radio show, we're going to go back to Dennis's house and pack up, and we're going to split for Bowling Green, Ohio. There's a house party there tonight. And then Sunday night in Louisville, Kentucky, and that's a club show. And oh, this is nothing.
Yeah.
And then Monday morning, we'll drive back to Nashville and get back into the swing of things at home. And next week is the Americana Music Association Conference in Nashville, and I'm a showcase artist in that this year. And so I will be at the basement along with Dan and the rest of our full band. In town, I have a band called Tommy Womack and the Rush to Judgment. And we'll all be playing at the basement in Nashville Friday night at 9. And I'm really excited about that because right after us is Ian McLaughlin and the Bump Band.
Mm.
And I've met Ian once. He's a super nice guy. And it's just exciting to be on the bill with somebody who was in the Small Faces and, you know, the Faces and played on stage with the Stones. And, you know, it's just really neat. That's a great thing about Nashville is you rub shoulders with so many incredible musicians and with, you know, incredible pedigrees. It's just the neatest thing.
It's funny you mention the Small Faces because we had a gentleman here from the Straubs. John Ford from the Straubs was playing, and I mentioned that to somebody in the office earlier this week who gave me a quizzical look. You know, you expect people, some of these groups, you either know them or you don't.
Yeah,
depending on how far they go back. And that sounds like a lot of fun. How old's your son?
He's 13 now.
And I hope you get to see him a lot.
I do.
Because it sounds like you're traveling quite a bit.
Not really. I mean, I'm home more than I travel. Man, I kind of like it that way. I do like to get on the road and play shows. It's great fun, but I'm a homebody too.
Is he picking up any music?
Yeah, he plays the drums, and he's learning chords on a guitar. He doesn't really have much facility with that, but he plays baritone horn in the school orchestra, so he's getting an education in it.
Well, that's great. You had a hello, by the way, from Mary Sack.
Yeah.
Mary Sack.
That's my manager.
She says hello and that she's tweeting and that you sound great and wanted me to pass that along.
Well, thank you, Mary.
And
she's a great lady.
Yeah,
she's a force of nature.
It's 18 before noon. We have time for two or three more songs.
All right.
What would you like to play next?
Let's see. This is a new one. I got a new record that's coming out at the beginning of next year called Now What? And this is the first song on it. Excuse me a second. Let me tune this thing.
Always a good thing. This is Tommy Womack, by the way, along with Dan Seymour.
Well, I don't know if that made any difference at all. that made the difference. Been to London, I've been to Rome, played my shows and come back home. The golden goose ain't landed yet, this is as good as it's gonna get. iPod's playing old Cheap Trick, my you've grown up quick. Trying to keep this kitchen clean, that's all real life really means. Another dollar, another day, I shouldn't look back but I do anyway. Dance in the ground, mom's on the way. Play that
cheap trick, play. Play that cheap trick, play. Pull those records off the shelf. Sit up late and doubt myself. Ain't no fuss and ain't no sweat. This is as good as it's gonna get. Love my son and love my wife. Try like hell to love my life. Jesus is my saving grace, but I don't always know my place. Another dollar, another day. I shouldn't look back, but I do anyway. Dad's in the ground, mom's on the way. Play that cheap trick, play. Play that cheap trick, play. Played the game and I've sowed some oats. I've rammed myself down people's throats. Banged my head against the wall. All in all, I've had a ball. $100 to play three sets. This is as good as it's gonna get. I'm the future's shorter than the past. My oh my, you've grown up fast. Another dollar, another day. I shouldn't look back, but I do anyway. Dad's in the ground, mom's on the way. Play that cheap trick, play. Play that cheap trick, play. Mama's all right, daddy's all right, the boy's all right, we're all alright, we're all alright.
Tommy Womack, you're a good songwriter. I really enjoy it. Your songs are about as honest as they can get, from what I can tell. Is that true,
yeah,
you think?
Yeah, I've, somebody the other day was talking about me to my harmony singer and said, he's got no filter, does he?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
I guess I don't. Yeah,
yeah, and actually that's refreshing. And I mean, there are others, too, that, but there's something. I think you're... your lyrics and the way you're belting them out and you're playing are really integrated in a way that, I mean, I can't quite put, there's no pretense about anything you're doing, which is just terrific. You're coming across in such a genuine and accessible way, but also, I can't put it into words quite, but it's a compliment, and it's a
thank you.
And there's just something I am going to try to say it is you know, people try to be relatable, and you know, which is important, mm-hmm. because if you're creating art, which music is, you want to be sure people can connect to it, and it seems like you are achieving that without sacrificing much of who you are or how you play or how you sing. You're just able to do that naturally, which is a real gift.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that are scared. Most people live in lives of quiet desperation and all that, you know. And I just sing songs about being scared, and people go, wow, there's another one like me. And they don't realize that everybody sitting next to them in the audience is scared too. Just nobody really wants to own up to it. You know, nobody wants to let you see them sweat. Well, I just, you know, sweat like a pig and let you see it.
Yeah. That's really true. You know, all these times you read books and somebody describes something in a book and it's like, I feel exactly like that. And I actually can remember sort of, not that I think I'm any indicator species, but, you know, chances are if you're feeling something and if you feel it, you know, more than a few days or a few times, that there are other people that are feeling the same thing.
I mean,
the human condition is pretty... It's
pretty universal, you know, except for the narcissists and sociopaths. We're all kind of, you know, having our freak out moments.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Tommy Womack is here and fresh off of a great night at the new series that Dennis McCurdy, it's been around for a while, but it seems so new because it's getting better and better. Harmony in the House, the series in Harmony, Pennsylvania, Bottle Brush, a gallery for the arts. The next show is Roy Bookbinder on November 4th. On November 11th, it's Jeff and Vita with the Lonesome No More band opening. And in January, some of the highlights include Lonesome Bob, Ellen Cherry, Sue Gartland, what a voice she has, Todd Burge, Malcolm Holcomb, Rick Malice, and Tony Denikis, who was here a few weeks ago, who his mnemonic for his name is Deny Kiss. I'll never forget that. And it's either a permanent aversion to Gene Simmons, I had to think for a minute. or a statement on his love life. I'm not sure which. And Tommy was there last night. A great show, I'm sure.
It was a wonderful night there. The people are really sweet. And like I said, the gallery just makes you feel good when you walk into it. And Dennis put together a real great package. Tom Panay was on the bill with us. He's a really nice guy, really good artist.
Yeah, he was here last week and just terrific, really fun. We haven't had a chance to talk. Dennis is here this morning, but he did a great job last week.
He's a great painter, too. Reminds me of Picasso, the same sort of cubist, is that the word for it?
I think in the color, the colors he's using are so vibrant.
Yeah, really deep colors, you know. Paintings look three-dimensional.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, we probably have time for one more looking at the clock. Do you have any projects solo that you're doing or that we should mention?
Well, no, I'm pretty much a side man, but I do play with Tommy's band in about 20 different forms, Mark Robinson and Justin Amaral, and you know we back up a number of people there in the club. But you know, for the most part, I'm there to support the Nashville songwriter.
Well, that's good.
He's working 5 nights a week, 5 or 6, maybe sometimes more than that.
Yeah, it's amazing that life. There's so many sides to industries, you know, that people think. You know, I don't pretend to understand the music industry, but it's amazing. And I'm trying to remember Glenn Campbell, you know, before he became who he, the star. I mean, he was playing so many side sessions, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. He was a Beach Boy.
Yeah. He's part of the Chad Mitchell Trio, I think. Was it? No, I'm thinking of John Denver, but you're right. He was a Beach Boy.
Yeah.
John Denver was part of the Chad Mitchell Trio for like a millisecond.
Glenn Campbell's on Mr. Tambourine Man. Hey, We're the Monkees. That's Glenn Campbell.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. It's something I think of my brother who I was talking about before, who's been a professional musician in Chicago for 40 years. And, I doubt is a household name anywhere except in the Union Hall. But he, you know, more cruise ships and more backup bands and more sessions than anything else. It's funny the way that can work. But it's been a pleasure to have you.
Well,
here.
Same here.
And we do have time for one more. Ricky, just there's a note I'm supposed to give you. I can tell because husbands and wives have that way of communicating. Keith Hurt writes,
"Hi, Keith.
From Park City, Kentucky. Been a fan of Tommy's for years. Now that I've heard, oh, thanks, Keith. Now that I've heard your show, I'll be tuning in on Saturdays." Do you know Keith?
Yeah.
It's nice to hear from Kentucky. Ricky, am I missing anything else? I'm up to date? Okay.
Park City's near Bowling Green. We're near the cave country. Mammoth Cave, the largest cave in the world. And all around in that area, Park City, Cave City, Mammoth Cave, Horse Cave, where my wife is from. It's a really pretty area of the country.
Yeah, on our staff, and she's probably listening now because I know she's... attending an event today. Liz Adams is from Louisville and is a musician and is told me Kentucky has a lot to offer. It really does.
Yeah, Central Kentucky is really beautiful, and that's where most of your cool towns are. Bowling Green and Elizabethtown and Louisville are all kind of on the same stretch of I-65. And then up around Lexington, you've got the horse country, which is just gorgeous. And then on the two different ends of Kentucky, the western end and the eastern end, freaks. Rednecks, hillbillies, dangerous places, kind of places where you pull off the highway, you'll get your head blown off.
Like Cincinnati, Kentucky is there too.
yeah. That's freaks on the other side of the river with that god-awful chili they have. Okay, I'm starting to alienate people here.
Yes, that's all right. That remark about the filter is coming back to haunt you. I want to be sure we get you started because our stations will leave us at noon. So thank you both for being here.
Thanks.
Dan Seymour and Tommy Womack. Look for his new CD. Coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
TommyWomack.com. What do you want to close up with?
This is a couple of Kentucky songs. This is a couple of Government Cheese songs kind of run together. It'll only last as long as one song. So. I'd like to apologize to everybody in eastern and western Kentucky. I'd like to apologize, but I'm not gonna. None of them have radios anyway. Well, I've been working all week loading empty boxes at the PepsiCo. Now I'm on my knees behind the 31W Texaco. I drank enough tequila tonight to be declared a citizen of Mexico. And I'm asking you, baby, please, please, baby, won't you please? Won't you come on back to Bowling Green and marry me? My mama's on drugs and I need somebody here to take care of me. Between Picasso's and the pub and the store and the club, they're gonna bury me. So won't you leave that New York City behind? Come on back and be the baby of mine. Come on back to Bowling Green and marry me. Support me and a family. Well, I know your career is important to you, but my liver is precious to me. So I'm asking you, baby, please, please, baby, won't you please? Won't you come on back to Bowling Green and marry me? Mama's on drugs and I need somebody here to take care of me. Between Picasso's and the pub and the store and the club, they're gonna bury me. So won't you leave that New York City behind? Come on back and be the baby of mine. Come on back to Bowling Green and marry me. Something for the kids out there. Teacher lines up the whole third grade. Ooh, ah, yum, yum. It's lunchtime now and we can't wait. Ooh, ah, yum, yum. Friday's here. We're excited, we're delighted. Ooh, ah, yum, yum. It's fish stick day. Fish stick day. We can't wait for fish stick day. Run, run, run to the cafeteria. Fish stick day. Fish stick day. F-I-S-H-S-T-I-C-K. Fish stick day. Monday we had burgers and fries. Ooh, ah, yum, yum. Tuesday we had shit. chef surprise. Ooh, ah, yum, yum. Wednesday and Thursday, beanie weenie, then zucchini. Ooh, ah, yum, yum. It's fish stick day, fish stick day. We can't wait for fish stick day. Run, run, run to the cafeteria. Fish stick day, fish stick day. F-I-S-H-S-T-I-C-K. Fish stick day. We really mean it. It's fish stick day.